Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Hero MotoCorp Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Michelle. Hi, good morning, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all on the Q1 FY23 earnings call of Hero MotoCorp. I would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Umang Khurana, who is the Head Investor Relations, to introduce management participant. Over to you, Umang.
Thanks, Ashutosh. Thanks for hosting us. It's a pleasure to connect with all of you, and thank you everyone for sharing your weekend with us. As usual, we'll keep the call for an hour. Today, we have on the call with us, the CFO, Niranjan Gupta, and also the Chief Growth Officer, Ranjivjit Singh, and Swadesh Srivastava, who is the head of our Emerging Mobility business unit. Thank you everyone again for joining us. We'll begin with Niranjan's comments, the CFO's comments, and then start to take questions. Over to you, Niranjan.
Thanks, Umang. Welcome to our earnings call, and thanks for taking out time on Saturday. Our quarter one results, as published yesterday, they show significant improvement sequentially on top line, tracking the positive momentum in the industry, coupled with gain in market share. We've been able to hold our EBITDA margins versus quarter four, which is the preceding quarter, and improving the same on year-on-year basis by around 180 basis points. This shows our focus on both growth as well as profitability as what we have been speaking many times. Parts business, parts, accessories, merchandise continues to do very well. We delivered 1,061 crores in the quarter at 12.6% of revenue. While focusing on building a robust portfolio in premium segment, we've also been doing premiumization of our existing models through X-Tech variants, as you have seen through Splendor X-Tech, Glamour X-Tech, Passion X-Tech, and Destini X-Tech. The demand for these variants is outstripping supplies as of now. As we ramp this up, it should help us in improving market share along with, of course, pricing, realization, and margins as well. Let me now talk a bit about macro and microeconomic factors and our outlook on industry. The global economy, as we all know, is facing headwinds of inflation and compulsion of central banks to raise interest rates to tame this, which obviously has an impact on growth. We do expect, however, the rate increase cycle to stabilize in a quarter or so. Given all this context, while India is not de-linked from global economy, however, it's relatively much better placed, whether we look at the currency, whether we look at the interest rates, whether we look at multiple other micro factors like the GST collection or the PMI index or the recently released IIP index. They're all indicators in positive direction. Coupled with, of course, in the short term, as you can see, the normal monsoon as we are talking about and crop cycle. Effectively, you know, when you combine all of these and also combine the consuming base of India with the low per capita consumption, it means that the underlying medium-term growth prospects are better than most of the countries. The recent geopolitical issues, while they do pose headwinds on one hand, but they also could bring inflows into the country because there are very few countries which are investment destination, like India. There are enough positives for us to rely on. We remain positive about the prospects of the economy in general and auto industry in particular. With that, let me now hand it back, for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Michelle, go on.
Okay, sir. The first question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. First question is on the demand environment. Can you touch upon how demand is shaping up? I mean, especially in context of what we see in terms of the ground level retail trend, and then we've seen in light of our wholesale trend. So July was a particularly weak month. Are we still undergoing inventory destocking or what it is?
Right, Dinesh. As far as demand environment is concerned, you know, as we spoke about the entire industry along with us, and it's also good to look at it sequentially, given all the, you know, base effects of pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. The quarter one has been better than quarter four, as you have seen the industry as well as us in terms of the growth. In quarter one, our retails were actually better than wholesale. So that's the second point for you to take. And as far as quarter two is concerned, the entire industry, as you know, now builds stock moving forward. Yeah, some of the stock build-ups, you could say, is slower for us, right, has been in July than expected because of some of the, in some of the variants, the chip impacted supply issues. But we are confident that over August, September, we will build for our festive season. So underlying, as far as demand is concerned, it is now with the onset of festive. Everybody is looking forward to the festive season to get an indicator. So as of now, I would say that the momentum is right and in the right direction with all the consumption spending which is happening. Of course, a month here and there could always, you know, swing when you get more purchases in a quarter and therefore a month becomes a little soft. So not really concerned about that, Jinesh.
Sure, sure. And the chip shortage is primarily for the X-Tech variants, right? And the premium variants.
Absolutely. As you know, we launched, you know, we now have four X-Tech variants, you know, Glamour, Passion, Splendor, and Destiny as well. And basically there, and the good thing, by the way, is that while on one side we have the inflation story across the country and globally, but on the other side, what we are seeing is the moment you launch a premium variant and all these X-Tech variants are at 7 to 10% higher price, the demand for these variants is far more than what we anticipated as a ratio. So clearly, it means that the consumers are willing to spend. They need to have a reason to spend.
Got it, got it. And second question pertains to the RM cost inflation seen in this quarter. So on reported basis, there is a substantial QQ impact. But I guess there is some inventory-related change impact which is there. But even adjusted for that, there was about 150 basis point QQ increase in RM cost. So can you talk about what the actual commodity cost inflation which we saw in this quarter and the price increases taken in 1Q and 2Q so far? Thanks.
Yeah, Jinesh. So I'll talk about the cost inflation first, and you're right to pick that up. As you know, given our pipeline of supplies, the impact of any cost takes a quarter to manifest. Yeah. And therefore, you know, if you look at it across the commodities, the quarter four, you know, in terms of the market index, that saw a spike. And then thereafter, of course, now we have seen of late a bit of softening in aluminum, in steel. Now, all of this will get reflected in quarters as we move forward. And therefore, we do feel that the overall balance of the commodity basket seems to have peaked off, and therefore moving forward, stabilization or maybe even coming down, depending on when the, you know, all the rate increase cycles have an impact, should be auguring well. As far as price increase is concerned, we took from 1st April around 850 ex showroom, and 1st July we have taken around 1,200 rupees extra room, which will of course get reflected in the Q2 and the coming quarters, as you see. And of course, in the past, last few quarters, maybe 6-7 quarters, and you've been talking and we also been saying, is that the price increases have lagged the cost inflation, and rightly so, because you want to balance off both growth and profitability. But moving forward, as the commodity pool stabilizes, then we'll have options and the opportunity to move the prices ahead of the cost, and therefore as an industry, an opportunity to actually recover some of the lost margins.
Got it. Just to clarify, the RM cost under recovery post-July price increase will be broadly taken care given the current commodity prices, or there'll still be under recovery?
So there'll still be some under recovery which needs to be recovered. As you know, our margins are at 11.2%, and therefore, you know, at some stage, this needs to come back to around 14% at least, and therefore, there would be some recoveries to be made for sure. Yeah.
Got it. Thanks. I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you. A request to all the participants to limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. My first question was around your employee headcount. So over the last 9 years, if we see, production or volume has declined by about 20%, but our employee headcount has increased by close to 50%. And within that, a large part of it is temporary employees. So more than 70% of our employee base would be temporary employees. So I wanted to understand, why are we keeping such high number of employees, especially temporary employees?
Right. So a couple of things. I think number one is, you know, we in an industry, we don't move up or down the employee headcount with the volumes. And we have seen when you have said, you know, the production or the volumes have come down over X number of years. A large part of that is manifestation of the pandemic. Yeah. If you look aside before pandemic, right, and leave aside the BS6, we were doing around 8 million of volumes, right, pretty much there. So you don't actually take up or take down the employees based on that. And as we all know, pandemic was not just an economic crisis. More than that, it was a humanitarian crisis. And we at Hero, we do believe in taking care of the employees and therefore having them with us. So we did not fire anyone. We, in fact, ensured that even contractors and casuals, they also actually get their rightful pay. I think the solution is to increase the top line, and which is what we are focused on rather than adjusting the employee. We've been, of course, judicious as far as our employee headcounts are concerned. There are certain places that we are scaling it up, like growth priorities, whether it's global business, whether it is the you talk about the EV space. So there are spaces where the headcounts will go up, and we will be judicious in all that. But I think the solution to all of this, to get the right ratios, is to increase the top line, and which is what we'll be focusing on, top line as well as the mix, and which is where we are focusing on building a premium portfolio and premiumization of our variants as well.
Yeah, having a high temporary employee base should ideally would have given us the flexibility to maneuver the employee headcount based on how the production and demand environment has been. And this trend is something which even before COVID, in fact, is something which was visible, that we were running higher headcount despite the volume coming down around VS4, VS6 transition time. Anyways, I'll follow up on that later. My second was on the Hero FinCorp business. So last fiscal year, Hero FinCorp credit cost was about 7% is what I estimate, calculate based on the numbers which we have disclosed. Now we have gone for another round of funding in the business this quarter. But that 7% credit cost for a business which has a yield of about 15% doesn't look sustainable. So while going for an investment in this round, have we set any target to lower these high credit costs, or we are okay with these numbers?
There is a target. So the funding round, there is a target for growth at the AUM level. And as we all know, that the finance penetration, the scope for growth of NBFCs is huge. And as growth comes back, FinCorp will have its opportunity to grow the asset base. So that's where the amount will get invested in. As far as credit cost is concerned, I wouldn't say we are comfortable with that credit cost. I think FinCorp team is working on bringing that down from let's say 7.5% to probably 5.5%. So that's the endeavor to bring down over the next 4 to 6 quarters. So that the ROA and the ROAs improve moving forward over the next 6 quarters.
Thanks a lot for taking my question.
Thank you.
Welcome.
The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura Group. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My question is more on the sub-segments. If you could talk about the growth that we are expecting for scooters and exports, because these segments have also seen some kind of decline for last few months. And similarly, for the retail sales also, they have declined in last 1 or 2 months. So are there any factors which are impeding the recovery? And also on EVs, from which month should we expect that the sales will start?
Right, Kapil. Kapil, good morning. And I see that the restriction of 2 questions means that in 1 question you've combined 4. But we will answer each of these. Let me take up the exports first, and then thereafter I'll pass on to Ranjeev ji to answer on the scooter and the retail sales. And then I'll pass on to Swadesh for EV. As far as exports is concerned, we all know that many countries globally are facing the impact of the inflation, currency, etc. And mostly because our sales are in emerging markets, and these markets are facing, whether it's Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Nigeria, Colombia, I mean, all of those are facing. Now, we expect that to be a short term, so therefore you see exports as having a softer quarter. But we do expect in the second half to move up. I think more importantly for us is to continue building scale, building the right product, and get to the right percentage of revenue in our portfolio from the global business. Let me at this stage hand it over to Ranjeev Jeet on to answer on the scooter market share and what we are doing to address that, and also on the retail sales general trend. Ranjeev, if you are there, can you just address this?
Yes, sure. My pleasure to do so. Hi, everyone. Ranjeev Jeet here. The scooters business was actually very interesting for us in quarter one. We launched the Destiny 125 X-Tech. X-Tech is really extra technology, and with the LED headlamp and with Bluetooth connectivity, it's really become a hit favorite amongst people, and consumers are loving it. There's a new campaign that's out there with getting a lot of good reviews. The product is doing extremely well in terms of all its variants. So the 125cc segment, we really serve very well in the market and continues to become even stronger play for us. Going forward, we're going to see some more action in the 110cc as well. Some groundbreaking innovation that I'm very personally excited about. We'll be bringing in some new stuff in this quarter in time for the festival season. So I would say, July is a time of transition. It's a time for rejuvenation of the portfolio. And as we see July, August, September, over the quarter, the whole portfolio is going to get far more consolidated, and it will be the results will be something that we will be happy to share in our next discussion.
Thanks, Ranjeev. Let me hand it over to Swadesh. If you can just update on our EV.
Yeah. Thank you. Hello, Kapil. Good morning. We are actually quite excited to be getting very close to our launch. We had announced sometime back that we'll be launching our EV product and the overall ecosystem in the festive, and which is going to happen sometime soon. On that date, we are also going to be announcing the dates for dispatches across the launch cities, which we have in mind. So it's just a matter of a few weeks.
Thank you, team, for the very detailed answer. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from UBS Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. My first question is on the margin front, Niranjan, as in with commodity prices easing now and the expected volume recovery, what the way you're looking at it, is it fair to assume that we should see the margin levels improving meaningfully from the current levels, because the recent quarter margin is definitely not what something Hero historically has delivered. I would see that as a one-off. So how should one look at the margin trajectory for the remainder of the fiscal and also for next fiscal?
Right, Pramod. Good morning. So absolutely, Pramod, as I said, mentioned earlier as well, as the positive impact of the commodity basket cooling off happens, it ensures that moving forward, we have more opportunities for pricing to go ahead of the cost, rather than what it has been for the last 4-6 quarters. And second thing is, as the volume picks up and market share picks up, then obviously we should have the operating leverage. So I think a combination of both these factors should, there's no reason to actually doubt that the margin should improve or should not improve. I think the combination of both these factors should help our margins to improve. How fast and how rapid we are able to accelerate, or should we deploy part of that back into growth, et cetera, that's something that we continue to take call from quarter to quarter. But yeah, trajectory-wise, I think all factors augur well for improvement of margin from here on.
Thanks, Niranjan, for that. And a second question is on the demand side, because we've had a great marriage season at the industrial level, especially for you. After that, however, demand has cooled off. There are seasonal factors where the cool off is sharper, and now the worry is that the majority of the UP, Bihar, and a big chunk of Madhya Pradesh are seeing deficient to very large deficient rainfall, and we are probably approaching the end of the monsoon in the next couple of weeks. So could there be any implication on the festive season demand? Because these are pretty large markets, pretty large commuter markets, especially. So how are you as a company tackling that, and especially to Ranvijay's, in terms of how do you look at the inventory in this light? Because those are significant markets for you and significant season markets for the entire industry. So will there be some bit of a moderation on your inventory approach going into the season? Because rainfall does affect sentiment. We have seen some bit of weakening in tractors already. So if you can just help us understand that part.
Let me start and I'll hand it over to Ranjiv. Ranjiv, just give me probably a couple of minutes. I'll just start off. So first, Pramod, as you yourself rightly said, is that marriage season was a good season. Now, what that indicates is that the moment you have an event or a season or a general reason to actually buy, then people are coming and buying. And of course, the current cool-off is a seasonal cool-off that always happens. So moving forward, we have no reasons to believe for festive to be not to be strong. Yes, there is some deficient rainfall, but honestly speaking, the income line in the rural India, is augmented by the crop cycle, the crop productions, if you look at it, the incomes, even the pattern of the consumption spending that's happening, the indicators are positive. And even if you look at the consumer confidence, I mean, that's the highest post-pandemic right now, as you know. And all the indicators are giving us strong reasons to believe that there's no reason to prune down on our plans of festive or inventory build-up. Ranjiv, can you just add on this? Over to you.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to say that, this time the Q1 was much anticipated by the industry and more so by the consumers of Hero there was pent-up demand. The marriage dates were fabulous in terms of April and May, a concentration that really got us to a great start. Obviously, as the marriage dates, start withering down, the demand changes. But that's not new. We are all experiencing this industry. We know the consumer buying cycles. July is when the onset of the monsoons happen. There will be a change in that. And then we have to prepare for the festive season. So there are some areas which have deficient rainfall. There are some which have a lot more rainfall than expected. So it's really a balance. And I think, the dealers understand that from a anticipation of the festival season. It's very clear that, it's looking like a double-digit growth for us. There is unemployment reduction in rural area. We think that rural will pick up even better for this festival season. Urban has already picked up much better, as we saw in Q1. So that will sustain. But there is a change in the buying season, of course, between Q1 and Q2. And then there's a preparation for that. As far as the inventory is concerned, the inventory typically is something that we, like Niranjan already mentioned, that our retails were ahead of our dispatches, and therefore there's an opportunity for us to make sure that there is enough inventory for the festival season, because at that time, we just have to have the right the mix, the right models, the right numbers, so that we can satisfy the consumer demand. So absolutely, we're good on the festival season.
Just a clarification here: what would be our inventory level at this point of time, and what is the target? And just another thing is, like, if you can just help us understand how big is UP, Bihar, and Madhya Pradesh for you as a company in terms of your total exposure. That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, so our inventory levels are typically in the between the 6 to 8 weeks kind of a range, depending on the month. That's what, in the end of June, it came down to about 6 to 7. We would be building it up as we go along. 20% is about the concentration that we get of the bigger markets. So these are the bigger markets, and they will continue to be so.
Thanks a lot, and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
The next question is from the line of Pramod Amde from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. This is with regard to the regulatory environment. Wanted to know your inputs on the real driving emission norms, especially the RDE2, which is expected to come in March. What is the technical changes required? One, what is the cost implication, and how are you beefing up the supply chain? Second, added to the same question is, even government is trying to prepone the RDE3 to the RDE2 deadline of March 23. So then in that case, what is the type of further cost escalation required, and how are you preparing for the same, and which basket you feel that it is a little advanced, or do you feel will remain back in there?
I think you are referring to what we call is OBD2, which is a regulatory change that we are saying. It doesn't change the emission, by the way. It's just an emission tracking. It's an onboard diagnostic. So the emission is the BS6, which is implemented from 1st April 2020, which actually reduces ICE vehicle emissions on many of the counts by almost 90%. So this is onboard diagnostics. This is not something which changes actually emissions. So there's already a plan there. Our products are ready for that. The cost impacts are not significant. And as an industry also, we'll be transitioning. And this is a smooth transition. This is like any other smaller regulatory change that happens.
And do you feel RDE3 will, or the OBD3 will come in, and will that distort as compared to the initial plan of separating them both together?
No, it won't.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on Aether capital infusion that has happened. If you can help us understand what is the incremental stake we took for the in this round of capital infusion that we did, and what is our effective stake now in Aether?
Hi, Chirag. Our effective stake in Aether, accounting for the full dilution of any of the ESOPs, MSOPs, or the DOLS pool, yeah, the net, is around 35%.
35%. So it has gone down from 38% to 35%, right, sir?
No, that 38% was before the accounting for, the way you report is that you don't account for the future potential dilution, right? So that has not gone down. It stayed broadly the same. If you account for the net dilution, then of course it is 35%, right? But on a gross basis, if you look at the current cap table, it is more than 38%.
Okay, so like to like it is constant.
Yeah, slightly up.
Slightly up. Okay, so that is one thing. So second question was just a follow-up on the demand side. So I was slightly different than the broader question that last 2-3 years, we have seen a very significant price hike, anywhere between 25% to 35%, depending upon model. Do you think consumer have absorbed the price hike? Are their income levels in place to absorb the price hikes, or there is still some time for them to completely absorb it, given the way their income levels have played out over the last 12 months? If you can share some light, what are you reading at ground level on this part? Are they still hesitant to come and buy the product in general at industry level? I'm more referring to.
Right, Chirag. Let me start, and then I'll ask Ranjiv to add on this. One is you're right. Obviously, the auto industry has seen significant increase, and all are on account of costs, not on account of margin expansions of the industry. And the industry has been very, very sensible in trying to absorb some of the margin hits so that the customers, the push on to the customers is minimized as much as possible. Now, in terms of the absorption, you know, there are, you know, it's not a one simple story. Now, if you see what's happening to the premium variants, now when we are launching Splendor XTEC, when we are launching Passion XTEC or Glamour XTEC or any of these things, these are all priced at 7 to 10% more than the base model, base variant, or the base model which is there in that same segment to the same set of buyers. And we can see far increasing demand of those variants which are premium variants than what we had anticipated. So really speaking, it's not about that a consumer in general is hesitating to buy more expensive products. It's more about that how do you make the consumer buy those products, yeah, the promise of the product, and the consumers are willing to spend. The second thing is, of course, financing is coming to help. As you know, the finance penetration has increased over the last 3 years, the same period that you talked about. It used to be around 35%, if I remember right, 3 years back, and 35 to 40%. It's now well above 50% now. So that helps because in spreading off the EMIs and helping it out. Having said that, obviously, there will be a certain set of consumers which do feel the pinch of that, and therefore they become hesitant, but it's not all classes in general. And like Ranjit talked about, even with the employment in rural and other segments and bottom of the pyramid increasing, and with hospitality industry also coming back in full swing, which actually has a large-scale employment in the semi-urban areas as well, that should augur well from the income perspective as well, even for that strata of the segment. Now, let me hand it over to Ranjiv to amplify. Ranjiv, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Niranjan. Pricing, obviously, you know, for our segments is something now, it's been over a time that our consumers, they know that pricing is going up. It's an inflationary market. Of course, it's understood. The financing that we're trying to do is really to help even the bottom of the pyramid to participate in personal mobility. And so there are some really interesting things which are being done in terms of direct cash collection. For those who don't have bank accounts or not very familiar with banking, they have a more convenient way of paying their installments on a weekly basis or a more frequent than a monthly basis. Also, as they earn, they can pay that off. And that's created a huge new set of financial inclusion into the consuming class. And I think Hero is leading the way for that. So that's at the bottom of the pyramid. But the phenomena of premiumization is also happening, because the other corollary to this is people are looking for more value. So when they're making that, you know, making the purchase decision, they want to see a better product. So they're going in for the XTEC version or the higher version. In fact, our premium versions are often 50 to 70% of the portfolio mix. And that's the trend that's coming in through. So it's a very interesting dynamic that, you know, you have financial inclusion at one end and premiumization at the other. So this is what the economy is currently, I guess, making people think about their purchase decisions.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chirag.
The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Just one question. So when we look at the commentaries coming in from different OEMs in relation to input cost pressures into Q, we've had a mixed bag. You know, some companies have said that there is further QOQ input cost pressure in 2Q compared to 1Q, and there are some companies have said that 2Q will see easing of input cost pressure. So the way you see it, which side are you on?
So I won't pick a side. What happens, Joseph, is different companies, different OEMs may actually have a different way of absorbing the cost. In some cases, you take, after a quarter. In some cases, you may have arrangements with your suppliers where you do in quarter. So which is why you will see that disparity of, you know, few months here and there. Because underlying the impact and the trend is not very different from an OEM to OEM. It's a question of then couple of months here and there that you could have the impact. If you look at the commodity basket itself, the commodity basket, aluminum and steel have softened. Now that softening of that impact is likely to come in 2Q. Maybe some part of it may come in 3Q depending on where it and what your mechanism for the settlement is. Crude continues to stay high, and therefore that's something that though I can, in a trend you can see a bit of softening, but softening from a high levels. So that can be a bit of a joker in the pack, and we'll have to just see how it actually pans out. And that's also not because of any demand supply issues. As you know, the crude is behaving more from a geopolitical issues where there are artificial supply constraints based on geopolitical compulsions. And then the last thing in this pack is the currency. And the currency, you know, we saw Fed hikes, and the Fed hikes also led to currency depreciation in most of the emerging markets. The rupee has behaved much better relatively if you look at the currency. The central bank and the government, I think they are doing a great job in actually managing inflation rate and currency in combination. So if the currency stabilizes around the current level where it is, then there's no reason why the commodity basket softening impact should come quicker than expected. So I think, but we'll have to just pan out. I mean, honestly, a quarter here or a quarter there does not make a big difference in the overall trend line of the economy. But as we said, I mean, life is uncertain. It's very dynamic. We'll have to continue to navigate. Nobody has been able to forecast any of the commodities accurately, whether in the past, current, or maybe in the future. And I've said so many times, but this is what the current indicators are. And as a company, as OEMs, as industry, as economy, as countries, we'll have to continue navigating whatever uncertainty or the surprises that come along our way.
So, continuing with that, so we are already mid 2Q, right? We are mid August now. So, I'm guessing you have a good sense of whether you would see incremental RM pressure in RM and, you know, other overhead pressure in 2Q compared to 1Q, or we have seen the worst in 1Q and you have a good sense, right?
So, Joseph, I'll stay away from a very specific Q2 or a mid Q2 guidance. But I think overall, I believe that you would have got a sense from what we are saying. And let's wait and watch how it moves forward.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Joseph.
The next question is from the line of Rishi Vora from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, on the first thing on the replacement demand side, so can you just give us some indication like what was the replacement mix for the industry, let's say pre-COVID, and now how it's shaping up over the last few months? Is it improving or, you know, it continues to remain at lower levels?
Ranjit?
Yeah, so the replacement demand is something that is coming back. We've seen that in Q1. We are also playing a role as a market leader. So we recently launched the Wheels of Crust, which is basically a consumer just needs to through a QR code, go to the site, do a self-evaluation of any brand of two-wheeler that they currently own, and they can get an evaluation, and that prompts them to exchange their product. But broadly, it's in the region of 15 to 18% is the replacement demand. It stays in that region, depending on the kind of segment that we're also talking about. Not too much of a shift as yet. If you look at it from a 2017, 18, 19 kind of time frame to now, thanks to the pandemic and a little bit of cautiousness there, but it's in the region of 15 to 18% is broadly what we look at. And it's very difficult to forecast this kind of a thing on a short-term basis, but what we can do is stimulate the market and make it very interesting for them to bring in, instead of, you know, going on prolonging that decision, we encourage people to at least see what else there is in the market and what value they can get for their existing vehicles. And so we're doing that with the Wheels of Trust. We also have some new stores which are called Hero Shore, which are into the refurbished second-hand vehicles. And we're bringing them, you know, to those stores, our consumers to those stores from multi-brands. And I think they're having an excellent experience there.
All right.
The whole message, you know, is don't postpone. This is a good time to buy. I think that's something that can't go wrong.
And what would be this number pre-pandemic, closer to 30%?
No, it wasn't, you know, in that region. I think there were a couple of points around 20 odd.
Okay.
But it doesn't fluctuate that much. And what we want to do is to, you know, take it back to about 20 to 24%.
And the second question on the spares bit, now we have seen a sequential drop in spares revenue. It's just seasonality, or there are any other factors that has led to decline?
It is mostly seasonality only, because if you look at, you know, overall, quarter four is always a big quarter that happens on the parts, accessories and merchandise. We continue to be above 1,000 crores. So quarter one has delivered 1,061 crores. At a 12.6% of revenue. If you remember a couple of years back, it used to be well around 10 or less than 10% of revenue. So I think trajectory is good in terms of moving forward. So that's more a seasonal this thing. As moving forward, we do expect our PAN business to register healthy growth in fiscal year 23. Ranjit, would you like to just add on our PAN business, what all we are doing to...
Yes. It's always a pleasure to talk about this business, because there are some fundamental and structural changes that we are bringing in and strengthening that. You know, it's a very interesting model of distribution, so that people have, the consumers have the parts available wherever they need them. So it's a far more distributed model in terms of the number of retailers, which have now become 40,000, and that's up from 39,000 that we had in FY22. The parts distributors also we've taken up to 315 plus. So overall, you know, selling more to each, and making sure that we also keep refreshing our portfolio. So we've got into the oil business, and that's growing well. So I think we've got pretty good progress coming in from this business. Yeah. Okay, so that's broadly what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yeah, go ahead, Arvind.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Just one question on the quarter specifically. There's a decline in the average realizations quarter on quarter. Is it because of the mix or any other thing that you would want to indicate as a reason for this, sir?
That's because of the parts business, which is there. As you saw, the parts as a, you know, per two wheeler, if you divide it that way, then the parts sequentially quarter four to quarter one has come down. And the second is our other operating income, that has come down. So in quarter four, the other operating income was at 186 crores, and in quarter one, it is 109 crores. Part of that is a quarter four, quarter one issue, and part of it is because Neemrana fiscal benefit expired in quarter four, FY22. So that is why it's come down. Underlying, if you look at excluding these, the two-wheeler ASP, that has gone up by around 800 rupees per vehicle, from around 51,200 to 51,900 or around 52,000 this quarter. This is on the back of the 870 rupees increase that we took in ex-showroom price from 1st April and a bit of a better mix impact resulting in the net. And as I said, 1st July, we have taken a 1250 rupees ex-showroom price increase, which will get reflected in quarter two.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. And sir, one thing you've already told about the staff cost, but a little bit more on that. There's a fairly sharp increase in quarter-on-quarter staff cost. Is it the run rate that would sustain throughout the year, or is it a one-off for the first quarter, and then one should expect it to probably go down a bit?
The increase is also on account of the increments, as you know, across the industry. The increments have been higher than previous years, and therefore you see that impact built in into our employee cost. Some bit of it also happens because of the variable pay and the bonuses that gets paid out. And so as we move forward, some part of it can get moderated, but by and large it is the increment and some bit of headcount increases that have happened.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the question, sir. And that's all from my side. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a clarification on the other income. So can you quantify the MTM loss which resulted in lower other income, and also what could be the duration of our treasury book now?
Yeah. So the other income had two types of MTM impact that we had. So one, we carry the FMP, but we actually do mark to market on the FMPs, which are held to maturity. The second is, as you know, we made strategic investment in Gogoro of $15 million a few months back. And as temporarily the prices have come off on the stock, so we provided for that. So put together, that's around 60 crores. So 35 on account of the FMP MTM and 25 on account of the Gogoro MTM. So that's what is built in into our other income. As you know, most of the treasuries of banks and corporates, everyone have reported the MTM losses on account of the hardening yields that have happened. So that's the stuff that have happened as far as the other income is concerned. Sorry, was there another question on this?
What was the duration of the book?
We actually moved to the shorter duration, which is why actually our impact is less pronounced. In fact, you know, our duration is less than 1.5 years on our bond side.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And sir, my question is on the EV side. So as we are seeing more people on the EV front, as everyone rushing to launch EV, so why we are delaying it?
Swadesh? Yeah. Hello, Jyoti. Good morning. Yeah. So you're right. There are a lot of excitement in the EV world, and we are happy to see that consumers are becoming more aware and more interested in EV. And coming from Hero, which is known to be the reliable, high-quality product OEM, we are getting ready to launch our best offering in the festive. And you know, it is important that we don't rush to the market in a frenzy and make sure that all customer experiences and expectations are met, whether it's from the product or the ecosystem or anything new which we are doing actually from the connected side. So rest assured, all of this is in place and will be coming out soon in the festive to cater to the customers.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just a follow-up on Ather. Is it possible to indicate what is the value of your investment? Is there a need to do any evaluation of that investment in Ather?
on annual basis or in some of the other form?
So I won't be able to answer this question, but let me at least give an idea. First of all, we account for these investments at book value, at the value that is invested. That's our accounting policy. Of course, if there's an impairment that we see, then we take that also. So that's the conservative accounting principle that we've been following. Now, in terms of what the market value of these investments are, I think, Chirag, you and the fraternity will be in a better position to actually assess that, given that Aether is doing pretty well. They have a large open PO orders to be serviced. Their brand has been receiving excellent traction. They have launched another variant. Their customer feedback is excellent. So I think most of the indicators of the long-term value creation are in the right direction. And of course, I would say that, you know, you and the team are better placed to see what should be the market valuation. But from our book's point of view, we'll continue to account at the book value.
Sir, at console results, there is a loss on share of associate. Would we like to presume it largely pertains to Aether, or there is a split between Aether and Hero Motor, Hero FinCorp?
Yeah, it is entirely Aether, Chirag. In fact, FinCorp for the quarter has turned out a profit of around 100 crores. Yeah. We know that last year they had losses, but they have turned around on the profit, and we do expect those profits to keep on increasing. So the loss is entirely Aether. We don't expect any losses from FinCorp even moving forward. The profit should keep on increasing. But Aether, as you know, in EV, it is cash burn for some period of time to come. Therefore, you'll continue to see that kind of trajectory there.
The 100 crore is FinCorp's profit, right? So we will account for our share accordingly.
Yes, absolutely right. So we've got around 40%, so that's what we'll account. I think you are getting down to what is exact split, but now you can work that out without me telling you, but you are absolutely right.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Niranjan, a question on the other expenses. If I look at the other expenses in the quarter, it is one of the lowest which we have in the June quarter. So can you help us understand, despite the inflationary concerns, how are we able to, keep this under control?
So, one of the other expenses, obviously a quarter is not the right way to actually look at it. But of course, we've been exercising all the cost tightening measures. When we see a certain inflation going up on materials, on the other things, and we tighten our belts on the other parts of it. But I think it's much better to look at on an annual basis, that look, whatever was the annual last year, and then you account for certain inflation, certain savings, and that's the best way to actually look for in terms of the other expenses trajectory.
Okay, got it. And second, a clarification on one of the comments you made, that one of the plants, I think Nimrana plant, has the benefits have concluded there. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, Ronak. The benefit concluded in quarter 4 FY22 because it was for a period, and the subsidy period actually ended in quarter 4 of FY22. Now we have incentives which are there in Gujarat, which is our Halol plant, and Chittur, which is where also we are going to start our production as well. Now, as Chittur and these, the requirement, the local requirement ramp up, so then we will see the fiscal benefits of these two units, especially Chittur, actually going up moving forward. But yeah, for now, that Nimrana fiscal benefit have completed its term of the incentive that we had.
Got it. So we might see some production realignment now based on the fiscal incentives. Is that
yeah, naturally and logically, absolutely. And that would then logically moving forward should also help. You know, while there's one story of Nigrana fiscal benefit going out, and obviously there's some realignment that will happen in the manufacturing plants, that can also positively actually benefit our logistics costs. Because as incentive goes out and then you actually spread, that doesn't become incentive, doesn't remain a reason for actually moving it to north. Then as you move to south and west, then you can have some benefit on logistics costs as well.
Of course. Thank you and all the best for the festive season and the new launch.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Most of my questions have been answered. Just if you could shed some light on the Hero MotoCorp FinCorp business, just some AUM numbers or gross NPA, GNPA and net NPA numbers, that would be great. And how is the profitability to be expected going forward?
So look, FinCorp is an associate entity, so I will be constrained by what I can share in terms of the numbers. As I already shared, FinCorp, the asset under management is growing. They are looking good in terms of the growth for the next 2 years. They are well capitalized. Their GNPA ratios I talked about is around 7.7%, which they intend to bring it down over the next 6 to 8 quarters. So I think that's what I can say. Other than that, I can actually add a color that our financing as a percentage of our retail is about 50% and FinCorp share in that is close to around 35-36%. I think that's the color I can provide. You can, of course, offline also connect with Umang in case he's able to provide anything else.
Understood. And so secondly, on the demand side, so just want to know, so that now we've seen that COVID effect has almost subsided. Schools and colleges have reopened. Work from office has also started. And we at Hero MotoCorp are slightly relatively less affected by the chip shortages being in the entry segment. So do we see, you know, the levels of 2018-19 in the current financial year or in the next financial year? Would that be a possibility?
So, Saurabh, you should have asked this question before Pramod asked. So then I would have answered him exactly the points that you have that you mentioned. That was a lighter note. But yes, there are a lot of positive factors. Look, exactly the ones that you have spelled out. And there are, of course, the headwinds, you know, like Pramod is also talking about, which is the monsoon or some rainfall in some pockets, you know, some rural, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a play of the headwinds versus the tailwinds that we have. And that's the balance that that one expects and which is where we are expecting the festive to be good. And then we'll have to take on from there. But the underlying factors of two-wheeler demand, they remain very strong and very intact. I mean, one has to move away from months or some of the quarters. If you look at the underlying demand, I mean, whether you look at more women in education and employment, whether you look at the aspirations of young people, whether you look at personal mobility, whether you look at, you know, the finance penetration or our penetration overall vis-a-vis some of the Southeast Asian countries. So I think overall, if you look at it, the long-term factors of demand of two-wheelers remain very strong. And it's only a question of how fast they manifest back coming out from the pandemic and the recovery. And which is will that is what will determine that how fast we are able to get back to the highest levels that the industry has seen.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, just some very interesting stuff. I'm sure you'll enjoy this when I say it, that there are a number of towns now that in premium, talking about demand and, you know, outlook, that actually have a market share in premium to be over 10%. And they're big towns like Bangalore, Coimbatore, Cochin, Allahabad, even Azamgarh and Bareilly, that our market share in premium has increased to over 10%. Now, you were saying that, you know, things are becoming a little bit normal. So what are we doing about that? And we've just announced the biggest Hero Dirt Biking Challenge. And that's going across 45 cities. In fact, today is when the city trials start. And in November, we'll have the national brand Bani J, who's famous for the roadies, and our Hero Motorsports people. There will be the judges, the mentors. There's already 100,000 people who registered, and we had to close that down. When we opened up bookings for our X Pulse Rally Edition, in 4 days we had to close that down because we sold out all of it. So there is that positivity, and I think a lot of great questions came in the call where, there may be stress at one segment, but there's a lot of buoyancy also and need for that, moving out and moving on, and that we are absolutely experiencing in our portfolio with our consumers and with our dealers, and that's a great run-up to the festival season that we see.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks, Ashutosh. Thanks, everyone, for coming on the call. We've run out of time. Thank you again for sharing your weekend with us. Happy Independence Day, everyone, in advance. And, look forward to keeping connected. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Equirus Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.